So, excuse me, as Victoria has said, tonight we are starting a new series that's going to be running this week and also next week, looking at this idea of Easter encounters. And we're going to be focusing on people in the Easter story that you will have heard of many times, but actually may never have heard their story or heard what they have to say or understand maybe what that means for each of us living today. So just before we break into that story, I wonder if you would turn to the person next to you and you would ask them, what was the biggest or most unexpected thing that's ever happened to them? It could be a wee story, it could be something that's happened to someone they know, but just the biggest unexpected thing that has happened in their lives. All right, so I want to start this evening by telling you all a story. A story about a man. Now, this man would not have looked any different to any other man in his profession. If you'd have met him down the street or in an office or in his place of work, you have not noticed anything different about him at all. This man was a servant to the high priest, the Jewish high priest, Sophetius. And he would have been based in Jerusalem around the time of Jesus. He would have been mainly in the temple, and his main duties would have included being part of the temple guard, a group of around 300 or 400 servants whose job it was to keep order and peace in the temple. When he woke on the particular morning that we're going to focus on, it would have been the countdown to the Jewish Passover festival. And Jerusalem would have been filled with hundreds of thousands of Jews from across the region. Because of this, he and other servants would have been joined by a large detachment of Roman soldiers, mostly likely stationed in Caesarea on the west coast of Israel. The detachment would have been around 1,000 men. Because of Passover that was going on in Jerusalem, they were there to handle riot control and protect against any local uprisings. They had been staying probably in the Antonia Fortress, which was right next to the quarters of Pontius Pilate, who was the Roman governor of Jerusalem. And there would have been a lot of people to organize and manage on that particular day. So even though it may have been a usual day for Malchus, for this soldier, he would have known the drill. He would have done this before. He would have known what to expect. He would have been able to plan what was coming. So as I have said, the man that we're going to talk about this evening and focus on tonight is that of Malchus, who was the high priest's servant. And that particular day that we are talking about is not going to end in the way that he expected or planned it to. Now, Malchus would have known about Jesus. He would have seen him on many occasions, maybe teaching or telling parables, even performing miracles, or even turning tables over in the temple. But he would have seen him as a troublemaker, one to watch out for and keep an eye on in those times, someone probably not to trust and to know where he was at all points. But there was something about him that he just couldn't put his finger on, something special, something that nobody else could explain or he'd never seen happen before. Every time they tried to question him or thought that they had him trapped in a corner, he managed to talk his way out of it or simply just disappear. He seemed to have some extraordinary power that him or anybody around him had never seen before. Take that time when that Malchus was preparing to stone Jesus, but somehow he had managed to hide and then leave the temple right in front of them all with no one noticing. There was also the time when they heard of a group in Nazareth who were willing and preparing to throw Jesus off a cliff. But again, Jesus somehow managed to pass through the midst of them and go on his way. So when he heard that his Jewish leaders were finally going to find a way to get rid of him, he was very pleased. And he was more than willing to offer his services in any way possible. This opportunity for Malchus came when one of Jesus' disciples offered to give him away in exchange for some silver. But Malchus knew that he couldn't take any chances. He knew the plan had to be watertight, had to be perfectly organized. Probably in this modern day and age, there would have been a spreadsheet and a project manager to make sure that this plan was done perfectly. So when the plan was being put into action, the authorities made sure that there was no way that Jesus would be able to escape once they'd cornered him. Malchus was part of a group of around 300 or 400 temple guards who belonged to the Sanhedrin and managed and looked after the temple. Along with these guards, they also arranged for one of the units of Roman soldiers who would have been in the city to come along with them. That would have been an additional 600 or 700 men to accompany them to find Jesus. This time, they were going to arrest Jesus. There was no way he was going to escape. There was no way he was going to get out of that garden without them having him. But to doubly make sure, they've got 1,000 men, roughly about 1,000 men coming after him. But to make doubly sure that he's not getting anywhere and that nothing happens, they arm themselves and they equip themselves extremely well, with many carrying swords, torches, and lanterns. So even in the dark of the night, nobody was escaping. When the signal was given, they moved and headed to the location that they had been given of where Jesus would be. You could hear the swords clanging, you could see the lanterns moving and the torches burning. Jesus would have known that they were on their way. But the garden wasn't far away, and even if Jesus knew they were coming, even if he'd seen them leaving the temple, he and his disciples were massively outnumbered. They entered the garden and confronted the small crowd that were present. And Jesus asked them a question. Jesus is the first one to speak in this situation. He asked them, "Who do you seek?" And their response is simply, "Jesus of Nazareth." And the obvious thing for him to do here is to run away, deny it, and hide. But instead, he responds to them, he steps forward, and he says, "I am he." Now, this is where the strange and unexpected begins to take place. At this point, if it was any of us, we would have expected the guards to step forward to seize Jesus and to take him out of the garden. But instead, they take a step back, and they all fall to the ground. Jesus asks them again, "Who do you seek?" And they say, "We seek Jesus of Nazareth." He then tells them and talks them through about how him coming forward and them taking him that evening will fulfill the word that has been prophesied 700 years earlier in Isaiah. Jesus knows what this plan is going to be, and he knows what he's coming. He knows he has to step into this and go with this plan. But just as he's about to do that, one of his followers, one of his disciples, steps forward and pulls out a dagger. He is not going to let Jesus go without a fight. He thinks this is too unexpected. This is too unplanned. This is not how Jesus is meant to go. But this disciple, this person, is not a Roman soldier like the other 1,000 people that are there. And he foolishly waves his dagger around, and instead of taking a striking blow to one of the soldiers, all he manages to do is cut off Malchus's ear. At this point, the soldiers could have stepped forward, they could have seized the disciple, seized all of them, taken them away, and very easily taken that as an attack or as an episode that they had started the fight. But Jesus manages to step in, and he tells his disciple to put your sword into its sheath. "Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me?" But at the same time, he also places his hand on the side of the shoulder's face and heals the ear. There is no more pain, there is no more blood, as if nothing had happened. This night for Malchus is turning into a very unexpected evening. Even the plans that Jesus says when he says, put your sword into your sheath, shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me? God's plans for this evening are much bigger than any of Jesus' disciples, any of the soldiers, even any of us could have expected at that time. And at this point, as Victoria read for us, Jesus is arrested and taken away. Now, the events of that day were not as Malchus had expected. Yes, they'd found and they'd arrested Jesus. They'd got what they'd come for. But he had come so easily, as if he knew that it was going to happen, as if he accepted that this was his time to go. But then there was that weird moment when they all fell to the ground after Jesus responded to their very simple question of who they were looking for. Then there was also the moment when one of Jesus' people tried to fight back and cut off his ear. But Jesus had held his hand on the wound as if nothing had happened. I wonder that if we as Christians live with an expectation of the unexpected happening in our day-to-day lives, or whether we go about our daily routines as if we have everything sorted, that everything is going to work the way we want it to do, everything is going to happen the way we've planned it to, because that's how we want to live our lives. That's the decisions that we've made and the choices that we have taken. But would we be ready and willing to follow Jesus if something unexpected happened tomorrow morning? Or would we step back and fall to the ground like those soldiers did because they were scared and afraid? Or would we take that step forward into the plan that God has for us? Now, a few weeks ago, I was on a train to Sheffield. I was going down to some training. And with me was a guy who works for a church in Edinburgh. We'd got on the train quite early that morning, and we had to change trains in Newcastle, so we got off at Newcastle and got on another train. And as that train left Newcastle, somebody got on the train that I recognised. For a split second, I lost the train of thought in the conversation, because this was a person that I totally didn't expect to be on that train. And as this person came into the same carriage as us and sat in the seat opposite, it was that awkward moment of, do I say hi? Do I not say hi? Are they going to recognize me? Am I going to recognize them? Could this all be a bit awkward? Is it definitely who I think it is? Now, that person was a person that I went to high school with. But I probably hung out with them. They were probably in the same friendship group as me, from me being about 12 to about being 18. And we had the usual chats, you know, oh, hi, how are you? How's things? What are you doing for work now? Oh, great. How's your mum and dad? Yeah, great, yeah. As you do, past the time of day. But that moment was unexpected. That moment was unplanned. And in that moment, I could have either ignored that person or I could have gone into the conversation that I went into. But what the person was even more unexpected for the person that I met was the job and the career path that I have now taken. Now, the words that they said to me was, Rob, who would have thought it that you, being 14, 15, has been in the same RE and RS and religious study classes, who would have thought that you'd have now been working for a church? Now, I don't know what that says about me at 15, but they were very unexpected in the career path that I'd taken. We also find many examples in the Bible of the unexpected taking place. Just think about Joshua and the walls of Jericho, Jonah and the whale. Even in the New Testament, think about how many times the disciples found themselves in sticky or uncomfortable situations where there seemed to be no way out. But the escape from prison, the door was opened, the right people were put in place for God's plan to be seen through. But can we be as we can be in as tune with Jesus as we want to be? A lot of us here tonight will say, yeah, I'm fully for God's plan. I have fully got that, and I'm going to follow it. But actually, what are the areas that you struggle to do that in? There's some areas in our lives that we very easily go, yeah, that's fine. God, you've got that. Yeah, no problem. If you did something unexpected in there, that'd be great. Other areas, it's like, actually, I'm not sure I could go with that. That might freak me out a little bit. And it's in all of these areas, in all the areas of our lives, that we need to be ready for the unexpected. So imagine how unexpected it would have been for Jesus to come so freely with the temple guard and the Roman soldiers. We reckon there was nearly about 1,000 of them, so there was no way that he was getting away. There was no way that he was going to escape, but he didn't even attempt to. Those 1,000 men were not needed that evening because Jesus was following what God had planned for him. Thinking further into the Easter story, how do you think that people expected Jesus to react in that situation? Even on the cross, people wondered if God would save Jesus or send his angels to bring him off the cross and save him, to prove that he was the Son of God and the Son of Man, even when he was staked to a cross dying. But what God had planned at that moment and what God has planned now for us and for this city and this nation is bigger and better than anything that we can ever expect. But if we are meant to be people who are ready for the unexpected, what areas of our lives are we lacking this belief in? Is it the idea of telling others about our faith? Is it the idea of seeing friends and family become Christians? Have we grown tired and weary of that same prayer for the same people because actually I've been praying for years and nothing's happened? Is it our job and our career plans? Are we quite comfortable in the jobs that we're doing and the career plans that we have set in motion that actually we wouldn't want God to do anything unexpected because that would just mess everything up? It could be a number of things. And now we don't know what happened to Malchus. We don't know whether he came to believe in Jesus or not. But what we know is in that evening in the Garden of Gethsemane, it didn't go as he or any of the other servants or soldiers had expected. They arrested and took Jesus away, which was their aim and their plan. But I wonder what would have been going through their minds as these events took place. Now, working with lots of young people, there's a number of them that decide to go away on gap years, usually when they're about 18 after they've finished school. And we fill out numerous application forms and references. Some of them a lot longer than others, trust me. If you're ever going to write an application form for one of these things, make it short and sweet. Tick boxes are really good. And we fill in lots of boxes with the idea of, you know, what can we expect from this young person? What is this young person going to bring us to our ministry or to our project or our program? And we sometimes sit down with these young people before they go and go, you know, what are you hoping to get out of going to this place or traveling over there or serving these people? And they come up with this big long list of all the things that they've got planned and all the things that they're going to be involved in and that they're going to be doing. But every time that young person comes back, what has grown them the most, what has challenged them the most, what has stretched them the most, what has grown their faith in Jesus and in God the most is the unexpected, is the things that weren't planned, the things that they didn't know were going to happen, the things that in those moments when they were like, God, I don't know what to do, the only thing they had to turn to was God, because the plans that they had were unexpected and they were ready and willing to take that. So as we continue into the days of Easter, I'm wondering if you will be willing to say to Jesus that you are ready for the unexpected in all the different areas of your lives, in all the different fingers, in all the different pies that you have your fingers, in all the different places where you have influence, with all the different friendship groups that you have. Are you ready to say to Jesus, I am ready for you to do the unexpected through me and for me and with me? And so for some of you tonight, you might know what that is. You might go, I know where I need to be more willing, more bold, more brave. And if that's you, I really encourage you to pray about that, to pray just by yourself or to pray with someone else. And this evening, if that is you, we have a prayer ministry team available who will be just stood at this side during this next set of worship. They might not ask you any questions. You might not even have to speak to them. But they're there if you want to use them. And I'd really encourage you to do that. So I'm going to ask you all to stand, and I'm going to pray that this week we would be ready to take on the unexpected, that we would turn to God in those moments when he does move in ways that aren't planned, and then we'll move into a time of worship together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that your plans are bigger and bolder than anything we could ever imagine. God, I thank you that you use people in unexpected ways, that you change circumstances beyond our belief, Father. And I pray that this week we would be people willing to see that unexpectation happen in our lives, Father. To see it happen in the situations that we've been praying about and also the situations that we haven't even yet encountered, Father. That you would use us beyond all belief in everything that you have planned for us. In your name, amen.